amazing worship, and then that song, and all we do is stay in our seats. Come on, church. Let's go. Man, that's worthy of celebration. All right, now you can be seated just for a moment, though, because there's so much more to celebrate. As she said earlier, my name's Ryan. I'm the pastor of our Chase campus. And yes, we have another campus. And there's a lot that God is doing. He is pouring out surges, tsunami, wave-sized, just surges of Holy Spirit power upon that place. And that is part of you as well. We are one church with two campuses, amen? And your prayers have been heard, your prayers throughout the years. And so I just want to celebrate a little bit about what God has been doing. We have grown by near 200 people in the last year. We've gone to a second service. People are experiencing transformation. We are becoming a buzz in the community only by God's, man, glory, amen? As He continuing to pour out and do a miraculous work. And I just want to stand before you today and say thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for those of you that have been believing and dreaming big and loving big, as we're going to be talking about today. So continue to pray for our Chase campus as we continue over the mountain to pray for what's happening in this community in Hampton Cove. So, y'all ready to continue? Amen. I know I am. So there are barely ever any movies that just grip me, that just do something in me that blows me away. How many of you have ever seen The Greatest Showman? Okay, a decent part of you. I hope after today, all of you go to Redbox and you get that movie, because it will inspire you, because it did that for me. The Greatest Showman reached down into my greatest depths and stirred something great in me. The music and the story connected with me in such an overwhelming, powerful way. The cast is great, the music is phenomenal, and the storyline gripped me, and it has never let me go. I about jumped up here with Sarah. Sarah, wherever you are, you did a fantastic job with that song, man. Good job. For those of you that may not know, The Greatest Showman is a musical film based on the life of P.T. Barnum. He was the founder of the famous Barnum and Bailey Circus. How many of you have ever been to a Barnum and Bailey Circus, right? It's great stuff. Born into poverty and the son of a tailor, he must grapple with the death of his father, the scorn of his father-in-law, and the ongoing demands of providing for his family. But he's determined to prove to himself and to everyone around him and to the world that something bigger can happen. And so he begins to think outside of the box. What one person might consider a disaster, this man viewed as an opportunity. Amen? And after he's laid off from his job, Barnum opens a museum. Now, this isn't just any old museum. All right, this one specializes in wax figures, preserved rarity, and all things odd. All things odd. Still, Barnum's daughters think, you know, Dad, there's something different that needs to be added to this. Something with a little bit more ticket-selling pizzazz. Something alive, maybe. Some humans. That would be great. Like, say, a bearded lady or a brother and sister trapeze duo or a grown man that's only a few feet tall. And so, you see, according to Barnum, he said, a man's station is limited only to his imagination. And so imagine he does. And as the Barnum Circus grows in popularity, P.T. starts to lose sight of his original dream. And I think that there's a lot of people in here today that can relate to that, that we get so wrapped up in the bigness of this life and what's going on in culture and what's happening in society. And for some of us today, maybe we've lost touch with whatever that dream was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And see, for him, tensions began to grow between himself, his circus performers, his family, sending his career and his family into this turbulent downward spiral that eventually ends in his circus burning down, both literally and metaphorically. And almost ironically, though, this disaster, this fire, is what it takes for P.T. Barnum to realize the true purpose of his show and of life, that it's not about revenue, that it's not about fame, but it is about the celebration of humanity and celebration and focus on our families. Amen? And I'm going to tell you, you can help me out today. All right, you have permission to get a little bit wiggity-whack with me today, because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to possibly get a little bit wiggity-whack wonky today, and you have permission to say a few amens. If you need to jump up and shout a little bit, you have permission to do that, because I believe today that the Holy Spirit is falling down upon this place, and he's going to stir in a whole lot of you something special. And you can't sit still when that happens, amen? When the Holy Spirit manifests himself upon you, you got to act upon it, amen? And you see, for this movie, it wasn't just a feel-good hour and a half of just escape for me. There was so much more. It reached down into my soul. It plucked at the heartstrings of my deepest parts, and it tapped into something that I had longed for, have been longing for all of my life. And it's just as the opening song declares, which we're about to see in just a moment. It says, buried in your bones, there's an ache that you can't ignore. So here's the opening act where P.T. is dreaming of what could be. And it ends with him looking in the storefront window as a child, continuing to dream of something bigger. You see, this movie's main message is this, and it's something that I believe that deep inside all of us, we hunger to hear. And the message is this, is that you are unique, that you matter, that you are important, that you are not a throwaway, that the world may have told you one thing. It may have told you that you're worthless, that you're a misfit, someone who is unlovable, but that is incorrect. And today I want to encourage you as we step further that we embrace our uniqueness, that there is nobody else on the planet like you, that you are a gift to this world, and not to settle in what you were meant to be and what you were created to be, because when you do settle and you dive into what the world may be communicating to you to be, you miss out on the gift that you were meant to be, not only to this world, but to me, everybody in this room, and your family and beyond. You are loved, so be proud of who you are. You have value, you have significance, and today acknowledge that there's always a place for you. And I believe that today that there's someone sitting in here that really needs to hear that. I don't know who you are. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I believe that you came in here today feeling a little bit defeated, a little bit beat down, and you need to hear that God and his creating you said, watch out, world, because this is good. You see, the Bible's message is similar to the one in the film, but even more powerful as we look at Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. And you're welcome to read along out loud with me. Follow along. Just don't mess me up if you're reading out loud. And it says this, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You see, today God has declared his love for every single one of us at the cross. While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us, and that deserves a big honking amen. He created you to have abundant life. Life is supposed to be magnificent. Life is meant to be a journey, an adventure. He created you to not only have that abundant life, but for you to see as you step forward in every day, no matter what circumstances you encounter, no matter how many difficult people that approach you, you are uniquely and wonderfully made, and none of that stuff defines you. There are so many themes in this movie. I could preach an entire series on this movie. I could go all afternoon, but I won't. There's so many themes that could serve as illustrations for biblical truths, but I sense God speaking to me through two particular that are vital lessons for us in this life of following Jesus, as doing life together as a body of believers. And I want to share those with you. And those two are to dream big and love big. Come on, somebody said, amen. I mean, dream big and love big. Imagine how that could change the world if we truly engaged with these two themes in our life. Amen? I mean, wow. So these are the two ways that the greatest showman might help the church, Cove Church and beyond, become everything that it was ever meant to be. And the first one, as I already said, is dream big. You see, Barnum, he experienced so much criticism and so many obstacles as he continued to fight for his dream to develop. Their art was embraced by many, but yet it was still misunderstood by so many others. And all the creative people in the room said, you see, he faced practical and financial challenges again and again and again, but he never gave up. He never gave up. He continued to dream big. He continued to be relentless in his pursuit of the greater that he felt that he was called to. And as you'll see in this next clip, showing one of my favorite songs in the movie, A Million Dreams, it starts out with him as a little child continuing to dream in his poverty and showing that through poverty and tough times and no matter what circumstances and how heavy they are, he continued to dream big. You see, he had a dream in his heart and he pursued it even when life did its best to get him to quit. It reminds me of the story of Nehemiah. I would love to see a movie, a film on Nehemiah's life in the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. And you see how God puts dreams in our hearts and prompts us to do things as well. God put a dream in Nehemiah's heart to go back to his homeland of Jerusalem and lead an effort to rebuild the ruined walls of the city. It was a task that would restore a sense of protection and spiritual strength to the physical and spiritually broken people returning from exile in a foreign land. Nehemiah continued to dream big. And after his enemies were calling him from his work to come down from the wall and to try to harm him, it says in Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, it says, I knew they were scheming to hurt me, so I sent messengers back with this. I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. I am doing a great work. I can't come down. Why should the work come to a standstill just so I can come down to see you? You see, he was constantly met with criticism and mocking from enemies of God's people who didn't want the wall rebuilt and God's people restored. He was threatened with physical attacks. He faced discouragement and weariness in the people helping to rebuild the walls, not to mention the sheer size of the task in front of him was extremely daunting. Yet, he continued to dream big. And this is what I encourage you to hear. Listen to this today. That as you pursue the things that God has put in your heart, whatever that is, I want to challenge you today that it may be hidden. It may be almost lost. It may be floating away. But today, I want to encourage you to grab hold of it. Hold it in front of you today, no matter how big or small it might be. And to acknowledge that you're always going to face resistance. But I challenge you today to don't give up, to dream big and to be relentless in your pursuit of not only those dreams, but your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, life can be just hard. Amen? It can just be heavy. It can be hard because the world that we live in is broken. But there's also the spiritual reality that the enemy, the evil one, doesn't want us to do things that God is calling us to do, because when we pursue those things, they bring glory to him and he uses them to impact lives all around us for good and for his purposes. There's always going to be critics. There's always going to be heavy times. Life is always going to be difficult. There's always going to be those people in our lives that don't understand what God has called you to do. When he causes you to think of that dream and and your heart is in your throat and you just don't know if you can step forward, if you can step on the edge of that cliff and just fall in his arms and trust in him. Don't let those things snuff out what God has put in your hearts to do. In your families, in your community, in this church, and wherever you work, and whatever big it might be, don't lose sight of it because of what surrounds you. So what is it for you today? What has God been calling you to do, and maybe nobody else knows it? What big dreams has he placed in your heart? Whatever it is, press on. Don't give up. Church, we've got to dream big together. We've got to rise up, link arms together, and be a rally of troops that is going to press into the darkness of this world and make a ginormous impact, and to believe like we are all over the other side of the mountain that an awakening can still occur. Who's with me this morning that believes that a spiritual awakening can rise up in this community and make a ginormous surge in this community, in this state, in this country, in this world because of the impact of the brothers and sisters of Cove Church, both campuses, rising up and dreaming big and believing that an awakening will occur? Who's with me this morning? Who believes that? Because listen, y'all, we are a three-ring circus full of barbarians and bearded ladies and misfits and crazy people racing around, but racing towards something brighter, something bigger. There was never a room built big enough to contain the energy and the fire that's in this room. Never. Nothing can sustain the potential and the possibility and the dreams that are in this room. We've got to crave it. We've got to hunger for it, and we've got to go after it, because I believe that anything is possible if we understand, truly understand who Jesus is. I believe there's nothing that can stop us if we learn to dream like Jesus did. So don't limit your ambition to what is commonly defined in society or in the news or even in your family, your upbringing. Break out of that, jump outside the lines, and to understand that God has a special purpose for those that do so, that dream big and step outside of those lines. You'll never see a dream fulfilled that you let go of. So refuse today to let go of that dream, no matter how difficult it may seem. Refuse to let go. And if you're gonna dream today, dream big. So let's all agree together to dream bigger than we ever have, to believe that the remaining part of this year, the last 6 months of this year, 2018, going into 2019, are going to be the greatest months and years of your life. But here's the thing, have an earnest expectation of God to deliver the results. And don't be surprised when he does deliver, but you be ready to shout from the mountaintops when he does. Amen? I'm going to ask you one more time. God's people shouted.
Amen.
Thank you. You have permission. It's okay. It's all right. Let her rip, Tater Chip. Let's go. And the second element that God just infused into my spirit, my soul, through this movie was not only dream big, but to love big. To love without boundaries. After a rocky first attempt at drawing crowds to his museum of unique elements, and I want you to think Ripley's Believe It or Not, like up in Gatlinburg. How many of you have been there? It's pretty wiggity-whack wonky. And a little inspiration from his daughters, P.T. Barnum starts posting ads calling for unique people, unique persons who would audition to become part of what was beginning to transition from a museum to a live variety show. So in this last video I'm going to show you today, it shows PT recruiting these unique persons. You see, what all of these people had in common is that these were people who were not accepted. They were not valued by the society that they lived in. They were considered freaks, people who should be hidden, people that should not be associated with or loved because of their unusual features, their unusual talents, indeed, or even their race. They were people that the culture said that you should divide yourself from, instead of reaching out to, because they were not like you. Sound familiar? You see, Barnum valued the people that were on the fringes of society and brought them into a family. He saw the gifts in them that were overlooked by so many others. He gave them a platform of purpose that brought meaning not just to their own lives, but to the lives of others as well. He challenged the norm that said you can't value or have meaningful relationship with people who are different from you, that are created from a different mold than you, that come from a different background than you. Isn't that just like what Jesus does? Isn't that what he calls each of us to do as his sons and daughters, to do for our neighbors? When we look at Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, it fires me up a little bit when it comes to this point. It says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. You see, Jesus loves without boundaries, and so should we. Jesus takes the you're not like me, therefore we have to be divided mentality of our flawed human nature and shows us a better way to live, a better way to love. Even in the midst of diversity and disagreement, we all can still love really well. Amen? And it's as if the example of Barnum portrayed in the film serves as a prophetic statement to our generation today. Both the church and society in general are struggling with this love without boundaries concept right now. Whenever there are differences between people, we see it widespread right now, not only throughout the country, but also the world. It's easier to create dividing walls than to go against the grain of culture and to tear those walls down. And I pray that Cove Church becomes more and more of a church that creates a culture where there are no divided walls. Amen? So if you're a follower of Jesus today, you are called to a higher standard of conduct than to participate in this divisive wall-building tendencies that are surrounding our culture today. We are called and empowered by him to genuinely love, to genuinely value, and to befriend people who are different than you and I. I'm different than a lot of you. You are different than those that are sitting across the way. But one thing that is sure without a doubt, that there is no filter in the eyes of Christ when he looks at us. He sees us as something phenomenal. He sees us as part of his creation. And he sees us as people that were created in God's image to do something big in this world. We are called and empowered. And in doing so, we become a tangible expression of the love of Jesus to all people. So I want to ask you today the same question that I had to ask myself when I was watching this movie. How do I view people? How do I truly view people in my heart? How are you treating people? Especially the societal outcast and the people who are different from you. How are they loved? How are they treated? And what is our perspective of them? Are we following the example of the culture? Are we following the example of Jesus? Are you setting an example for culture? Or are we letting culture set an example for us? So as the band comes forward, I want to encourage you to think through this. To dream extraordinarily big dreams and to love insanely big We must first know the extraordinary love of God and the dreams that he has for us before we can step into these two realms that I've talked about today. God has made it possible for you to know him and to experience an amazing change in your life. You and I experience the greatest peace when we've discovered a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I want to ask you today, have you said yes to Jesus? Have you fully engaged with the purpose that you were created for? The number one reason that we were created, in order to be able to dream big and to love big, is first to understand that we were created to have fellowship with him. And we can't do that if we haven't experienced that personal touch of his love upon our soul. And so I want to ask you today, if you have said yes to Jesus, if you know without a doubt that you are his. And in a moment when we continue to worship, we continue to sing, there's going to be prayer partners up here. And I want to encourage you that first and foremost, if it's that you're wrestling with today, and that sinks in today, a seed was deeply rooted in your soul today, and you are wrestling with that, and you need to know, do not hesitate. Do not leave this building today without making it right and talking to one of these prayer partners or grabbing a friend or a family member to walk up here with you. But for the rest of us, I want to ask you this as we close. Are you dreaming big? Have your dreams kind of floated away? You had something big in store. You knew that God was preparing for you. He was setting you aside for something phenomenal. And you got wrapped up in life. And you allowed life and its many storms, one after another, to knock you down and to sway you away from whatever those dreams were. Well, I want to tell you, today is the day that I believe that God has put you in that seat to reach back out, but not with one hand and grab that dream back, but with both hands. And to say, God, I surrender. I've been in the way of the dreams that you've put in my soul, and I'm ready to step forward and to dream big once again. And in line with that, you've created me to be set apart from the set apart and to love extraordinarily big. And that's a struggle for me, God. I can't do that in my own strength because people annoy me. People are foolish at times. But God, I have to remember that I'm foolish. And that there were people in my life when I was struggling, when I was down, when I was discouraged, that came alongside of me, that loved me. And when I couldn't lift my arms anymore, they lifted my arms for me. They helped me step forward and into something that I didn't think that I could see. And it's time to return to favor and to realize that through your love that is brewing and stirring inside of me, that there are people that I encounter every day that are in need of the ginormous, amazing, authentic love of Christ. So as we stand this morning, will you dream big with me? Will you love big with me? Will you respond according to what God has put on your heart today? Don't hesitate. Don't stop. Press on. Be relentless in your pursuit. Let's stand. Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you that you have created us for something so much bigger than ourselves. God, you've created the ability for us to dream. You've given us the ability to love, but only because we've experienced your love. And God, we could radically reshape this culture and this world around us if we would step out of here today, at least committing that we were going to continue to dream big and to love big. So God, help us with that. There's people in here today that are struggling, that are wrestling, that are seeking something deeper and greater. And if that's a personal relationship with you, I pray that they would not leave here today without making that right. We thank you, Jesus. We love you. And it's in your incredible name that we praise you. Amen.